All right, good evening. Take your Bibles to Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. We'll begin a look at Judges tonight. I'm going to open with verse 8 and read through the end of the chapter. And Joshua the son of Nun, servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gash. And also that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for the Lord. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a-whoring after other gods, and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge, and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because their groanings, by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers, in following other gods to serve them, and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left them when he died, that through them I may prove Israel whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein, as their fathers did keep it, or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your great wisdom. Thank you, Lord, that you know the future, as this passage introduces the book of Judges to us and reminds us that you knew what would take place over these 300 years, even before Joshua died. Lord, we thank you for history and for the account of your word and the chronology that is there that allows us to line it up with other things and verify that these things are true. Ask that you would bless this evening as we are together in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're looking at the book of Judges, obviously. This passage is really an introduction to the book of Judges. You'll see it's kind of a summary. The people follow God, and then they leave, and God judges them, and then they return to God. God gives them a judge. So this summary here tells you God's reasoning. It tells you what's going on. And then we get into the book of Judges to see what all is there. Let's go to the first slide. This is going to take us 2 weeks because Judges is a 300-year period. 300 plus a few, but right about 300 years. And it goes from 1409 B.C. to 1095 B.C., okay? So it's covering those 300 years there. Now, obviously, there's a lot going on everywhere because there's more and more people being born and growing and spreading out since the flood at this point. So as we start looking back in history during this period, you see more things happening because there's more people for things to happen. There'll be more of that as we go along. But for right now, to introduce this period, we're going to look at Judges, obviously. There was 15 judges governing the nation of Israel during this time. Israel was under a theocracy. God did not intend for them to have a king. He wanted to be their king. He wanted them to worship him alone and for there to be a judge, one who directed the nation of Israel on how to follow God, how to keep his commandments, and how to serve him. That is what a judge was. He was not a king. He was not necessarily the governmental leader, although he was. It was not the purpose. The purpose was for him to be a leader as a judge, say, directing the people to follow God and his laws and his authority. That was the idea of the judges. Excuse me. We just read this passage, so let's go on to the next slide here. All right, so this here we have a list of the judges and their approximate times. Othniel was judge for 40 years. He was the first judge. He became judge about 1409 BC. Ehud was the second judge. He judged for 13 years and became judge about 1369 BC. Shamgar for 18 years in 1356. Deborah and Barak, 47 years, 1338. Gideon for 40 years, 1291. And King Abimelech. The reason we have king there is while God places him in the list of judges, you read the book of Judges and he was a self-appointed king. So technically he was the first king of Israel. He said, excuse me. When Gideon died, Abimelech said, well, I am the son of the king. He had a misconstrued view of his father. And he said, went to the men of Shechem and he said, I will pay you money. You make me king. And then he went and slew all his family so that he was the only, so he could claim an inherited right, but that he was the only one. And he elected himself king. God allowed that for 3 years. And then Abimelech was killed. Tola rose up as the next judge after him, so 1249 BC. Jair was the next one for 22 years, 1225. Jephthah for 6 years. Ibzan for 7 years. Elam for 10 years. Abdon for 8 years. Samson for 20 years. Eli for 40 years. And Samuel for 20 years. Now Samuel continued to judge Israel after those 20 years. He was the judge of Israel for 20 years, and then Saul was anointed, and Samuel continued as the prophet. His title changed to the prophet of Israel, but he still judged Israel in spiritual matters. We see that both Saul and David conferred with him in what was the Lord's will in different matters. So he was the only judge for 20 years, and then Saul was anointed around 1095 BC. And while Samuel stayed around, he was no longer fulfilling what the book of Judges covers as a judge. That is why it has him for 20 years, and that's not his whole lifespan. All right, let's go to the next one. Now, kind of getting an idea of what's going on. You can see a timeline there. It's covering a 300-year period. So what's going on in the rest of the world? Well, Babylon, of course, is still a huge center for what's going on. But at this point, Babylon is not ruled by the Babylonians. If you remember a few weeks back, about mid-1500s, so about when Israel was gone down into Egypt, the Babylonians lost control to the Syrians, who in turn lost it to the Kessites. The Kessites were a people from the mountains to the north of the Mesopotamian Crescent. And they moved down and they maintained control of Babylon for about 500 years. Now, there was a few times they were unseated for a short amount of time, but they regained it. So they had a 500-year dynasty over Babylon. excuse me. They're an interesting people because while they were not from Babylon, they moved their royalty to Babylon or Shusha or Shushan, depending on the time frame. So they moved their royal families into that, but they kept their own. They allowed the Babylonian culture to remain the same, but they kept their own culture. So they were the royalty. They were the hierarchy. They did things their way. The plebeians all did what they wanted, as long as you followed the Kesite rule. So they were an interesting dynasty during that period of time. Excuse me. If you go into the first part of Judges, I was going to pull some more from about this for next week, but I think I'll just look at it this evening. The first nation to come at them in Judges chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 5, the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam and the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rish-Athaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan-Rish-Athaim for 8 years. Now this is interesting because it's, at least I haven't found yet a king, and I don't see anybody else recognizing a king anywhere else in that area, especially in Mesopotamia, with his name Cushan-Rish-Athaim. So you're going, okay, who is it? And, of course, critics are saying, well, see, it totally doesn't fit this period of history because there was no king of Mesopotamia with this name at this point. Well, when you look at the Hebrew name for this man, this name here is a Hebrew word. Cushan means a son of Cush or something along those lines. They don't know for sure, but something, either a son of Cush or a son of Cushan, which if you use the city Shushan, Cushan, or Susa, it's all the same thing. Down, you'll see Susa on the edge of the map there by Elam. That was one of the key points in the Kesite nation, rulership. And the Hebrew word here means son of Cush or Cushan, depending on who you're reading. But Rish-Athaim means twice evil one. So it's a Hebrew name saying that guy from Cushan who was really bad to us wasn't necessary. It's a Hebrew term. It's not necessarily the guy's name. That makes sense. So I've seen at least one other person say, several people want to say that when it says the king of Mesopotamia, it's talking about the northern elbow, the northwest elbow of the Euphrates River, which would be the Haran area. And I'm still doing some studying about the Haran area in this time to see if there's somebody who kind of fits this description. But I look at it, it just says king of Mesopotamia. And all of history at this point points at the rulers of Mesopotamia, that whole stretch, and it's actually bigger than that under some people's... So under some maps, it goes clear into here, which they were from this area up here. And then it comes up into here, up towards the top end of the Euphrates, for the kingdom of the Kesites. And I've seen at least one person say that Cushan being a similar name to one of the names for the city of Susa, or Shushan, that this would have been the Kessites actually moving into Israel for this 8-year period. Now, like I said, I need to study that out further, but it's an interesting observation. So let's go on to the next. One more note here. They were there until 1155 BC. So basically the entire period of Judges, the Kessites were the rulers in Babylon. All right, let's go on to the next one. Okay, so other things that were happening in the mid-1300s, which would be Othniel, Ehud, and Shamgar. So the from 1409 into about 1350, the first three judges. Other things that were happening around the world. King Erechtheus of Greece invents carriages, four-wheeled, four-horse-drawn carriages. The first time they see them in history. It's kind of not that it makes a big difference in what's going on, but this is something that's happening somewhere else in the world. From there, many cultures took it, and I mean, now we have it as a part of the American West, right? So they started around just before 1350 BC, some king in Greece. In Phrygia, a very rich king named Midas, he was known all over for his great riches. There's Midas the First and Midas the Second. Midas the Second was known for establishing a set of mourning when somebody dies that was taken on by many cultures. But Midas the First was known for his great wealth and his great riches. So he would be the one that we get the legends of Midas's golden touch from. It was actually a king around the time of Othniel the Judge. It's kind of interesting. Doesn't make a whole lot of difference. It's just kind of interesting. Let's go on to the next slide. And then, when more broadly across this period of time, it's interesting because in this 300-year period in Israel, you look at a lot of different histories of different cultures, and they'll say, well, in this 300-year period in this culture, that this happened, but they don't know exactly when it happened. Again, it's not something that makes a big difference, but it's interesting to me that several different cultures have the same period that stuff was going on. So over in India, we have, during this same time frame, the Sanskrit language was developed, and the four Vedas, which is a set of historical and religious documents for the Indians and their culture, it was written somewhere during this time. So while there's judges in Israel, India is developing the culture that they've based everything off of it for what we know of them today. China enters the third dynasty. So there's a family shift there in the rulership. And then the Phoenicians begin establishing trade with other nations. Now, between 1000 BC and 600, they're known to be the greatest world traders, and they were called the first ones to actually have real established trade routes with other nations. But somewhere before that time, they began establishing those things. They began you begin seeing them in trade relationships with different nations, and then that's built up until they're a trading empire in 1000 BC, so around the time of Solomon. And then also tales of Hercules originate from this period. So again, when we look at Greek mythology and those things, a lot of times, and also Roman mythology, a lot of those things go back to acts that some man actually did, and then the stories got bigger and more embellished and crazier. And so while Hercules was probably a really strong man, Well, Othniel and a few other judges were leading Israel. There's a guy over in Greece called Hercules doing great strong things. And they sit around the campfire and they say, "Oh, did you hear what Hercules did? And he threw an elephant." You know, the stories get bigger and bigger. All right, I don't remember if I have one more slide tonight or not. Can you hit the next one? Nope, more to come. All right, let's close with that. Like I said, there's a number of other things happening. As we get into later judges, of course, there's more things happening as the time progresses. But in the first period here, that's kind of what was going on. So let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for history. And we thank you, Lord, that through it all we can know you, and that you have made yourself known to mankind time and time again. Lord, you're rich in mercy and grace, and you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we thank you for that. We ask now that you would bless the rest of this evening, bless those that aren't able to come tonight, and bless the requests as we bring them before you. In Jesus' name, amen.